You're listening to San Francisco Liberation Radio, 93.7 FM, and I'm speaking with Imad Khaduri, a former nuclear scientist based out of Baghdad, most recently with the Iraq Nuclear Research Center that is underneath the Atomic Energy Commission. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about, obviously, the current impetus towards war with Iraq. Thank you for being with us, Imad.
You're welcome.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about your work, just a brief synopsis, an overview of your work at the Nuclear Research Center, because I'd like to just get some background on your obviously extensive credentials. And
well, I finished my BSc at Michigan State University and MSc at University of Michigan. Then I joined the Nuclear Research Center in Baghdad in 1968. And after staying 1 year and realizing there's a potential, I went and I finished my PhD at the University of Birmingham in England and rejoined the center and stayed with it until the war, 1991, and then continued with the what remained of the nuclear weapon program until I left in 1998. I was in all phases of all programs of the Nuclear Research Center, starting with the Soviet research reactor, and then the French experimental reactor, which the Israelis bombed and which caused us definitely to go to the nuclear weapon option. And then with the nuclear weapon program itself, and then with the inspectors, and then I left in 1998.
And the Nuclear Research Center is not specifically a center designed to create weapons, but it has many different purposes and goals. Is this correct?
Well, the United States gave us the impetus in building this center. In 1956, Eisenhower, under the Atom for Peace program at the time, gave us as a gift a whole complete library on atomic energy. Hmm. And then the 1958 revolution, there was a small reactor, research reactor, American, as a gift to Iraq, supplementing the library, but the revolution 1958, with the reactor in the Arab Sea, America diverted that to Iran, and I believe it's still in the University of Tehran, that small reactor. So we went and we bought our own reactor from the Soviet Union, which started in 1965, and I joined in 1968.
Correct. And are there medical uses for the center or any kind of research that...
It was a purely peaceful research center. We had biology sectors, chemistry, agriculture, medical, physics, all kinds of purely, and many of the IAEA inspectors actually, IAEA scientists joined us for many, many, many years in collaborating with our work on this, in this research that we did.
Mm-hmm. Now, in August of 98, you left. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
When I was in the States, middle of my stay, in the middle of the 60s, I had made a decision with myself that I would only marry an Iraqi lady and I would have my children be raised in the warmth and the depth of the Iraqi Arabic culture, but that their education, I would be giving them the best I can afford. It's the tradition of my family for many generations that the parents would sacrifice everything for their children's education. Mm-hmm. So when the war ended in 1991, a week later, I submitted my retirement, and they were surprised, totally surprised. And when they asked why, I said, well, in 5-6 years, my children will be reaching university age, and I made it a promise to myself I will take them out and give them the best education I can. They thought I was not serious. They just laughed at the idea. But I meant it. I tried to leave in all possible legal way possible. And they put down the rules that if you retire, we'll let you for 2 years under probation, and then we'll give you passport, let you leave. I did that. I retired in 1996. Joined the UN agencies working for the Oil for Food program, two of them, WHO and UNDP, mm-hmm. and waited for the probation to end, and it ended, and I realized in the end they were playing games with me, that they will not be letting me go. So I tightened my jaws, and I took at a great risk of my life and my family's life, and we left. And we ended up in Canada, where my children now are in university, and I'm thankful for Canada.
Yeah, I'm thankful for Canada, too.
Are you Canadian?
No, I'm not Canadian, but I've spent some time there, and I only hope that the American government can find a way to think along the same lines of logic that the Canadian government seems to be able to grasp. But that's aside from the point. Recently we had tried to set up an interview, and you struggled with the idea of actually coming out and talking, but you have since contacted me and changed your mind. Why is that? Why now? Why is this so important?
Late in August, I was watching television, and President Bush gave one of his, I wouldn't like to put a stronger epithet on it or adjective, but let's say empty speeches. That really irked me at the time, and I turned to my wife and said, after 4 years of being quiet here in Canada, I said, I'm going to speak. And I wrote a letter, an article, mm-hmm. titled Iraq's Nuclear Non-Capability. It took me 2 hours to write. And I tried to publish that. New York Times, The Guardian, The Independent, and other newspapers. And they all refused. They wouldn't even reply to my emails.
Interesting.
Even though I have authenticated myself and I pointed to my PhD supervisors, the English, the British, and University of Birmingham to verify who I am, nobody replied. Finally, the Toronto Star and Toronto did reply. They thought it was an interesting story, and they wanted to make a story in addition to actually publishing the article. But when I did the interview, got back home, I found that my security has been seriously breached. So I stopped the publication, and I spent 2 months rebuilding my security at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then by December, I was contacted by an AA inspector. We had mutual respect. How about giving an interview? I said, fine, I will. I'm open. I know the whole history about it, and they knew that I knew. And I was waiting for that to happen so that that would be, in a sense, officially recognized by the UN, so that then I can feel more secure to come out completely. But unfortunately, a week ago, this contact of mine said, sorry, other war tendencies have taken over, and they have refused to interview me. In the meantime, I was really irked and upset by the speech of Blix to the UN Security Council 10 days ago.
Why is that?
Because he missed two very important points that should have been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was, and this is the source of my inspector who is with the team there, that Blix courageously 3 weeks ago challenged the U.S. to give him a list of the sites that they claim to be intelligence sources, that they hide these nuclear weapons or whatever. And the Americans apparently did give him 25 sites. And he did, the inspectors did go and visit these 25 sites, and they found nothing. This information came to me from my contact within the inspectors. I waited for Blix to mention that in his speech to the Security Council. He didn't. Second point, the Iraqi scientists with whom they claim to have found the third line of enrichment process, the laser enrichment, I knew very well that scientist. His work was a cul-de-sac, and it stopped in 1988, and he just packed up and did nothing. It was nowhere part of the nuclear weapon program, as even Colin Powell, even on Monday, waved with it. Now, the IAEA knew this quite well, because in 1997, we prepared our final report to the IAEA. We pointed to this research. It was a cul-de-sac. It was going nowhere. And it didn't, it wasn't involved at all in our nuclear weapon program. Yet, Blix decided, and of course they went there and they invaded his home, the privacy of his bedroom, under the glare of the cameras, and all they had were just personal papers, financial statements, and old research papers. Yet Blix, in his speech in front of the Security Council, pointed this out as being another sort of infringement or discredit to the Iraqi hiding of information.
Mm-hmm.
Even next day, Mohammed al-Baradei, his colleague, chided Blix for bringing this issue up. Baradei quite well knows, and it was confirmed to me even this morning by a friend of his who talked with Baradei, that this was a real non-evidence. But yet, Blix came up and brought it up in the UN, and then Powell waived it so mm-hmm. brazenly in his speech. These two events, that they visited the sites and found nothing, and about the issue of this, my colleague Khaled Hamza with the laser enrichment, that forced me, well, pushed me over the edge. I called the Toronto Star and I said, okay, I'm ready now. And since then, I've had 12 TV interviews, about 20 radios, straight interviews. This is the 21st, in the past week.
Excellent. Now, on February 7th, you came out with a response to Powell's speech as he came before the people, as you said, waving the red flag in front of the American populace's eyes to kind of incite them to war. And you went point by point through his speech and basically completely negated what it was that he had come out with, this so-called evidence that he came out to the American people with. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, starting with the proliferation of the aluminum tubes, because that seems to be one of the key points that the American government is stressing right now.
This article on Powell, my comments on him, was published in the www.yellowtimes.org, mm-hmm. where I published two other articles earlier.
Correct.
I, even now, challenge not only Powell or Bush, but I challenge their intelligence agencies and the Israeli intelligence agencies and the British intelligence agencies to bring one single shred of evidence that Iraq is still engaged in nuclear weapon program since the end of 1991.
War.
I challenge them. They have nothing of the sort in their position. They have no evidence. And there is, and the plain truth is, there is no such nuclear weapon. So how can they find anything? As for the aluminum tubes, Americans are surprised why of a quality which is not used by the U.S. It's S7000 aluminium, kind of aluminium. It's mm-hmm. a bit expensive. Why should we be using expensive mortar shells while Americans use less expensive? I mean, if that's a cause for war, good luck. Even the American scientists themselves, they have confirmed that in order to make any, if they were going to be used for centrifugal enrichment, they would need kilometers of very highly balanced, delicate, controlled apparatus. Where would that be hidden with all the satellites and the inspectors all over Iraq? Mm-hmm. And they can rest in peace if take years before any kind of... And where is the initial material, the uranium to go into this kind of process that they imagine? And even most important, where are the scientists and engineers to do this? The scientists, as I mentioned in my articles, since 1991, have been really a victim of very severe economic hardships. They're barely managing to live and have their family live on $20 a month. And all they fear is their retirement of $2 a month only. Mm-hmm. A price of 1 kilogram of meat is $2, by the way. And if they expect these scientists, engineers, and by the way, it is forbidden to import or to bring any scientific magazines to Iraq for the past 13 years. They have atrophied. They have cluttered their intelligence, and they are weighed by the psychological and economic stresses of living in Iraq for the past 13 years. The whole Iraqi society has been severely strangled by these economic sanctions. Hundreds of thousands of deaths and hardships. And now America is going to rape Iraq. And for what? What evidence does America have? All I can tell you is this. Who is behind this drive to Iraq? Have you ever heard of the neoconservatives of the United States? Richard Perle? Paul Wilbowitz? William Kristol? Kenneth Pollack? Ronald Asmus? The Americans should take a look at these people. Since the 90s, they have been putting this agenda forward, this kind of a hegemony and of control of the world's resources to further the interests solely of the United States. And these people even, in 1990, in one of their writings, they were hoping for a calamity to befall the United States as great as the Pearl Harbor, so that they can put their program into motion, they can galvanize the people. And guess what happened in 1991? And even obscenely, a few days ago, after Columbia disaster, these same people, they said, well, we hope that the Columbia disaster would further galvanize the American people around Bush for his attack on Iraq.
Correct.
What obscenity is this?
Correct. And I think that it is clear to those in America that have done the research, that have, attempted to at least find out some information about America's past and the way that the government operates in conjunction with the corporations, that people realize that there is a public opinion manipulation that is going on. But still, the American people, I think, are very much looking for some kind of hard evidence and looking for hard evidence either way that this is not happening. And so when Powell comes out and says something like, point by point, these are the pieces of evidence that I have, it's very difficult for Americans to kind of get around that.
They are all untrue. They are
right.
All false. In my article, I proved that all that Powell has said as far as vis-a-vis the nuclear weapon program in Iraq is false, is untrue, is a lie.
So maybe you could. One of the other things that Powell had talked about, and I think which was definitely a way to incense people when they hear the languaging that he used, he talked about the Iraqi scientists that were asked to sign declarations under threat of a death penalty if it was
this
not adhered to.
This is also a lie. That's another untruth. What we signed, I think four or five times, and I read very clearly the fine print because I was signing there the death penalty of my life. What we were signing was that if we do hide any of the documents and reports at our homes or wherever, that would be then the penalty of death. We should bring out and give out everything that we have. That was what we signed. It is not what Powell mentioned based on defectors' claims. This, the defectors can tell you that the moon is made of feta cheese, just mm-hmm. so that the CIA will be pleased about them and give them support, like this Khadr Hamza and people like that who wrote bomb Saddam's bomb maker. Powell depended on defective speeches. Had he had his intelligence agencies to get one copy of that declaration and had it properly translated from Arabic to English, and if he had any sense of sticking to the truth, he would not bring that as an evidence.
Right. So you're saying that the document that you signed was actually, a threat of death that if you did not hand in to be inspected, the sensitive documents and the reports
exactly.
that may still have been in your possession.
That was what we signed, not what Powell is claiming that we have signed based on defectors who are scared to death and trying to save their skin and find a job someplace.
Correct. Now, the other point that Powell made was the, third uranium enrichment process that he continually refers to, sometimes in different language, or difficult to tell at times, but he's going by the seizure of the documents from the house of Saleh Hamza.
And that's what I'm saying, that that line of research, AA, I mean, he could just call on telephone Muhammad al-Bara'i, the head of the IAEA, and ask him about that, and that he will confirm to him that line of research has nothing to do with the nuclear weapon program at all. It was a dead end. Not a single country in the world is following this anymore because it is not a productive way of doing fissile grade weapon material. So now, and they did this James Bondian surprise ambush on Fala Hamza's house, added to his misery, added to his depression, and insulted his wife by going through her private linen. And God damn it, I don't want to talk about this. It's too ugly to talk about. And then they say they have the arrogance. Why don't other scientists come and talk to us? Well, if you treat our scientists like this, then you know very well that they are innocent. Well, how would you expect others who have still lots of more dignity than they do to come out and talk to them? They're crazy. They're arrogant. They're belligerent. I don't blame my fellow scientists not to come out and talk to them.
That's correct. Now, you've talked about Blix, you've talked about Powell, and the misinformation that they have actually disseminated throughout the public media. Why, how do they either get this information, these interpretations? You've talked about the inaccuracy and the incompetency of the Secret Service and informant services that they've used. Is it is it also possible that there is some PR work that's going on here? That
That's a good point.
U.S. has a history, of using corporations like Hilton and Knoll to
yes, Yes.
Back in the early 90s.
Right, and the incubators and the babies were dying in the Kuwaiti hospitals with this.
Correct.
The daughter of the Saudi ambassador crying in front of the Human Rights Commission. Good Lord. And not only that, one of the reasons that America went to war in 1991 when the Congress approved that plan was America claimed Iraq is going to attack Saudi Arabia. They were amassing their troops on the border, and quickly the Congress passed the approval for Bush, Senior Bush, to act. Well, nobody verified what the Americans said until a very brave journalist in Miami, Florida, convinced his newspaper to dish out $1,500 and buy the actual satellite pictures from a Soviet satellite agency for that area, for that period. And lo and behold, When you looked at what the satellite pictures showed, there was nothing. There was no troop amassment. There was no such a thing. And America never even yet proved what it had said, claimed, and got the mandate to go to war on that. Not only that, what happened to the 8,000 pages that Iraq handed over to the UN? And they say that they are all flimsy. Well, where is it? Why didn't everybody else see these 8,000 pages? They were hijacked by the United States themselves and hid from the rest of the world.
And
why
should
we believe the U.S. when it says there is nothing?
Right. And now you have said that there were other papers that were involved with that cash, and then there was like 3,000.
Only 3,000 were released. 8,000 were kept with them, with the United States. Why?
Right.
What are they hiding? Why don't they? Why? What is it that they don't want the world to see? Okay. Furthermore, I'm not capable of talking about the biological and the chemical and stuff like that. I don't know anything about it. But from Powell, the way he presented things, we have these satellite pictures. Look, they have maybe 16. The defectors told us they have 16, 18 mobile units. And of course, Blix shot that to pieces, saying there is no such thing. But even then, suppose what Powell was saying was maybe true, that there are these 16, 18 mobile, and the defectors spoke about what's inside them, the mortars and the shape and the color. Couldn't the inspectors have even provided the intelligence services of the United States an idea of what make these bloody cars are, these mobile things are? Is it Chevrolet? Is it Ford? Is it BMW? Is it Volkswagen? Couldn't they tell them what kind of marking was on the car? Now, wouldn't then the intelligence agencies be able to go to these companies and ask them, did you sell these things to these people? What were they? Now, does the mighty intelligence of the United States fail to do this kind of information gathering? Or are they being paid billions for what?
Right.
I mean, if he has information that these are mobile, biological, chemical weapons of mass destruction trucks, he cannot get the make of them from these defectors?
Correct.
There are 68 of them. Nobody saw the make of them. I mean, this is really laughable. This is really ridiculous. What kind of evidence is this? What
Correct.
Kind of evidence is this, I ask? Good Lord.
Yes. Now, I mean, this has also been, perpetuated in other ways, as we have seen even before. You know, many people are like, well, we are about to go to war, when in reality, for many people, in Iraq, there has already been a war that has been ongoing ever since the sanctions started, ever since the bombing of Iraq started.
And it's not only a war, it's a strangulation that's going on, and it's tightening. And now they're going to be raped by America, the same America.
Today, Bush put an alert onto has upped our security alert from a yellow to an orange, which is the second highest security alert that we can have within our color-coded system. And we are ever more imminently approaching a war with a country thousands of miles away that most Americans are not even able to find on a map. What is the real reason for this? I mean, we've gone over the information that Powell and Blitz and others may or may not have. We've gone over the reasons.
Look behind them. Look at Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz, and look at Richard Cheney's past and Rumsfeld's past. Look at what these neoconservatives have been saying and pushing forward, and how they are now. They are not hiding in caves, by the way. They are in the State Department, right? These are not caves. They are not wearing sandals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. And
American people should take a good look at these people. They are the ones who are sort of behind the scenes I'm not talking about conspiracies and stuff like that. No, they're public. Go on the internet and you'll find what they're saying. And even now they are on CNN every single day. Richard Pearl was on 2 days ago with this U.S. ambassador to the UN, Kilpatrick, who was with him, the same think tank, as they call it. Let the American people really listen to what these people are saying, what they are pushing, and I think President Bush is simply being trotted by them so gullibly.
Right. As of today, 113,000 troops have been stationed in the Persian Gulf, half of them being in Kuwait, which would be the push-off location for a ground swell, a ground war. And by February 15th, there are 150,000 expected. What can we expect to see in Iraq? What kind of response from the government? I mean, what is your prediction for where this will lead within a matter of weeks?
I would like to listen to Bush answer that. I'll have to go. Sorry, I have another phone.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been Ahmad Khadouri. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And you're listening to San Francisco Liberation Radio, 93.7 FM, and we've been talking with Imad Khadouri, a former Iraqi nuclear scientist who has just come out publicly with his knowledge of the lack of information that PAL and Blitz have been disseminating throughout the American public as we are ever closer to approaching a war with Bush. Peace protests across the nation are becoming increasingly stronger as people raise their voices in dissent against an unjust war, coupled with sanctions that, to date, have killed and contributed to the deaths of 500,000 children, mostly under the age of 5. So, for more information, you can for ways to get involved, you can go to www.unitedforpeace.org, and also, International Answer will be having another protest upcoming on February 15th, which, again, as I said, will be the which is proposed deadline for the culmination of more than 150,000 troops in the Persian Gulf. Again, you're listening to SFLR 93.7 FM.